Open your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Familiar with the book of Daniel, we know that we talked quite a bit about the fact that not what we're going to look at today, but on in Daniel chapter 9. And so we have prophetic statements and a prophecy there in Daniel 9 that help us rightly divide the Word of God. We look at Daniel 70 weeks and all that. Without that, we couldn't rightly divide the Word of God. It's just light shining from the Old Testament to the New Testament for us. And like we talked about before, when the church is raptured out of here, hopefully pretty soon, then the Jews will have a light from the Old New Testament shining back on the Old Testament, and they'll get a lot of understanding. A lot of things will be opened up to them through the book of Matthew and Hebrews and the book of Acts, James. But we can glean some things from the book of Daniel by the grace of God today. And let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you again for another opportunity to read the Word. Ask for your blessing on the message, blessing on the folks that are here, blessing on the folks that are not feeling well today, that you have your hand and power on them and help them heal them up. And those that are traveling, that you would give them traveling mercies, build a hedge of protection about them. Ask for your blessing on my sister and nephew as they travel back to Missouri here over the next day or so. Lord, that you'd bless them and have your hand of protection on them. And again, Lord, we ask that you would just bless your word, breathe on the message, in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking at Daniel, we remember several stories about Daniel. We remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace and Daniel in the lion's den. We're going to look at some things today by the grace of God out of chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. We'll read down through here a ways. It says, well, first of all, just to set the stage, in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, this vision of this tree reaching to heaven, and animals under it, and the birds landing in the fruitful leaves and all that. And he gets all of his magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans, all these soothsayers together, and they can't give him the interpretation of the dream. So here's where we're looking. He turns to Daniel, and he's given Daniel this dream. And verse 18, it says, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar," Daniel's name, he changed it to Belteshazzar, "declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." So remember, he didn't understand exactly what was going on with the God. We're looking at a Babylonian leader that had a bunch of gods. So all he knows is the powers that he worships, they must be on Daniel, because Daniel keeps everything just going right for Daniel. Daniel has an outstanding relationship with, in his opinion, the gods. But we know it's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And so he attributes that to the gods giving Daniel this power. But God's going to straighten him out on this. "Then Daniel," verse 19, "whose name is Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of the heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon thy lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they command to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my of the kingdom of my might, by my might and by my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So we see here what happens is he calls on Daniel for this vision to be interpreted, this dream to be interpreted, and he's given Daniel the credit of having the power of the gods on him. And then when this is all said and done, he's given credit to the God, the Most High. He's not separating these false gods. He's talking to the God. And that's what God wants. God wants this world to quit worshiping these little gods and turn to him and worship the true God. And we've talked before about the battle, the reason the battle is so much against Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, is because that gives the honor and glory to the God, the Creator, one God. And man wants to separate the honor and glory out. Basically, they want to worship themselves, and they want to give the honor and glory to science and evolution, science falsely so called, and give the, you know, we just talked here about that wicked old Pope and the Muslims and the Jews all getting together and building those three different tabernacles to worship in under one roof, or whatever, you know, you want to believe type religion, the one world religion that's coming, one world government that's coming, all that stuff that's coming down the pike. And you know how they developed the Ten Commandments of climate change. But they reject the commandments of God. So they worship the Creator, or they don't worship the Creator, they worship the creature. And you know, we talk about in Romans, it says neither were they thankful. They're not thankful to God. They're not thankful at all. They worship the creature, the created. They don't worship the Creator. So now they're up there on Mount Sinai saying, yo, we got to save the earth, and we got to save this and save that, and we got to bring in world peace. And the only one that's going to bring in world peace is Jesus Christ, and he's going to do it with a rod of iron, so it's going to be a different situation than they ever imagined. But God wants people to worship him, and he deserves it. We talked about this before, you know, the earth worshipers and their mother earth and all their craziness, and God's going to burn this place up one day, and he's going to start over again. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the first heaven and the first earth, that's right, this is simple math, first heaven and first earth, right? Because that's all there's been is one. And there's not going to be this one anymore. So Bill Gates and Fauci and Trump and Biden and all of them could get in the same bus, head the same direction, and that bus is going the wrong direction. And they can do everything they can to try to save the whales and save the trees and save this and save that. And really all they're doing is worshiping themselves. Because what they want to do is they want to try to create a new heaven and a new earth without destroying the old one. They want to pretend like they're God. And the only one that's going to fix this mess is God. So they'll get together and they form their own religion. They worship each other and bow down to each other and, you know, come to the conclusion that, boy, if we just all do the best we can do, we can be like God, we can get this thing straightened out, and things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, if you look at the real science and the first two laws of thermodynamics, first law is energy is never created or destroyed. It's never created or destroyed. And then you look at that outside of God, that's absolutely true. But even if you include God, the energy comes from Him. They don't want to give God the credit. They want to say that, you know, they've got the laws of thermodynamics, energy is never created or destroyed, but yet nothing turned into everything. That's a lot of energy to come from no energy. That's against the first law of thermodynamics. And then the second law is the law of randomness and disorder, entropy. Everything goes to disorder. But man pretends like, even though they say they believe science and they preach science and they teach science and they worship science, they want to pretend like everything's getting better and better. Try that with your new car. You go out and give $55,000 for a new car, and 2 years later you're going to find out something. The law of thermodynamics is true. Amen. It's neither created or destroyed because you keep putting energy in it. You know, thank God the dinosaurs are gone because we drive around on what's left of them. Amen. But then the randomness and disorder, your car don't get better and better as time goes on. It gets worse and worse. This body don't get better and better as time goes on. It gets worse and worse. You notice something about the church? The church as a whole is not getting better and better as time goes on. It's getting worse and worse. Mankind is getting worse and worse. Why? Because they worship gods instead of the God. You know, God gave them a chance in the Garden of Eden. He gave them a chance through Jesus Christ to get right and to try to be right. Give you a chance by giving you the Word of God. But man rejects that and wants to worship all these false gods. The first thing I want to talk about, that was a long introduction maybe, but here we're looking at verse 18. Verse 18 in chapter number 4, it says, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, therefore, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able." He knew he had the ability, but he didn't know who to give the credit to. "For the Spirit of the holy gods is in thee." The first thing I want to see is the prophet. So here we have the prophet, and we know that here we are in a time of Babylonian captivity. And a lot of God's men were great men in a time of captivity. And that just goes to show, even though everything's going wrong around you, you can still be good for God. And you can still be used of God. But Daniel here is under King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylonian captivity. And an interesting thing I was noticing this morning, and as I looked through, or maybe it was last night, I can't remember, but if you look down to chapter number 1, and Nebuchadnezzar is trying to figure some things out. It says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz." This is right after they took Babylonian control of Judah, right after they took control of Israel. And it says, "And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes." So the men that were elevated in this time of captivity were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Now we know they got the new names and all that. That's where it gets kind of confusing. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Belteshazzar. So that's Daniel. They were elevated. But do you notice who he called and who they were? Back in chapter number 1 it says, "And of the king's seed." You realize who you are today? When you call on Jesus Christ, trust Him as Lord and Savior, you get born again, you are of the king's seed. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to obey Him so He can elevate you. He wants you to humble yourself so He can lift you up. He wants you to lift up Jesus Christ so He can use you. And that's what Daniel was doing. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. They were of the king's seed. They were special. And the lost man, Gentile king that had taken them into captivity noticed that. You know what's missing today in God's people? They're not different. They're not different than the world. So what do? Well, they still tell the dirty jokes. They still drink the booze. They still smoke the weed. They still smoke the cigarette. They do all the things the world does, except they go to church once in a while. And the world looks at that and say, "Well, you go to church once in a while, and you're no different than I am. Why would I want to go to church?" So your church ain't much different than my bar. Right? And then some of the churches aren't any different. You go to a rock concert in a church and you go out there feeling like, well, no matter what I do in the world is fine because God is love. And the truth is, God's also judgment. And Daniel realized that, being in the Old Testament, and he comes along and he says, I'm going to do right by God. And God blesses him. Remember that later on they refused to take the king's meat and drink the king's wine. Well, that's a type of the world, a picture of the world. Are you going to get fed by the world or fed by God? You know what they were doing? They were taking the basic things that God had given them and they were flourishing with it. All the fancy stuff that the kings of this world can give you can't help you one second spiritually. And they come through that thing after, I think it was 10 days or so, and the king seen them, and they were eating pulse and drinking water, and the rest of them were having the king's meat and the king's wine, and they looked at them men, and them men were healthier. There was a glow about them. There was something different about them because they had walked with God instead of walking with man, spiritually speaking. Well, physically them, but spiritually speaking, that's what we're supposed to do. People should see a difference in us because we walk with God. But the prophet here, Daniel's lifted up, and the king looks at him, and he says, hey, I know this guy here. He can give me an answer. And look, where'd the king go? He went everywhere in the world to find an answer. But you know who was able to give him an answer? The king's seed. You know what the world's looking for today? They're looking everywhere for an answer. I don't know who's looking for Biden for the answer, but somebody obviously is. Some of them several times when they vote, I don't know. And who's, you know, people looking for Trump for the answer? We laugh at the Biden thing because we understand how wicked that side is. But I don't think we understand how wicked the other side is. You say, well, this guy over here is for pro-life. Oh, well, this guy over here is anti-this or anti-that. Well, the truth is they're all anti-God. They really are. They give lip service to it, especially at election time. You notice that? Everybody knows Jesus 2 weeks before the election, and after that, he's gone. Right? They're pandering to the people that actually are supposed to believe the book, and they go, well, you know, I believe in... Oh, Trump gives this generic speech about God, and everybody goes, man, that guy's it. He's our Messiah. Yeah. And the truth is, he's a part of the problem. Amen. And the reason we're able to allow him to be part of the problem and accept it is we're part of the problem. Yeah. Because we don't walk with God anymore. Yeah. And, you know, you put the whole world together in one bag and shake them up and dump them out, you couldn't tell who was lost and who was saved most of the time. I mean, if you did, it'd be because of you would look at their outward appearance in an unspiritual way and say, well, that guy right there, he's all cleaned up. He must be the saved guy. But the truth is, the heart of man is wicked. You know? And we're putting put your eggs in the basket of man. It's better to trust the Lord and put confidence in man, yet people are like Trump, 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 Biden, 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 Biden. And the truth is, they're all a mess. Until they fall in line with this book and hit their face and ask God for guidance, everything's going to be a mess. And it's going to get worse and worse. And the people that are deceived by this idea that somebody might be following this God that they don't really have a good idea who it is, they wouldn't believe that to start with. But if they get deceived by that, then the next thing you know, it's easier and easier for us to be slipping off into this mess and think it's getting better. Just because oil drops to $25 a barrel doesn't mean this country's right with God. And if it did, it wouldn't break my heart to see the oil drop. But if it was $200 a barrel and the country was right with God, the country would be in better shape. Right? But we don't look at things spiritually. But the prophet, he gets a hold of Daniel and he says, Daniel, I know Daniel can give me this. Then we see the prophet, he comes along here and he says, hey, look, that tree that you're talking about that reaches into heaven and those bountiful leaves and the animals living under it and the birds living in it. By the way, the birds are a type of devils a lot of times in the Bible. And here's, we've got this king, this Gentile king that reaches to heaven, Nebuchadnezzar, and the birds are in his branches. There's a bunch of devils and the beast, and he ends up down there with the beasts. I mean, there's all kinds of typology we can look at here, but that prophecy, he comes through and he says, that tree's you. And he says, you've reached to heavens, but you're not given the one glory that deserves it, so you're going to be chopped down. And then we see in verse 26, reading verse 26 here in chapter number 4 of Daniel, it says, and whereas they command to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. We see the purpose to get him to give God the glory. Why do you think all this stuff keeps going crazy in this world and God lets it? As long as man's trying to do it his way, God's going to let it go haywire until finally people say, look, we got to get back to God. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And people's hearts get harder and harder and harder. and then they get more, it's more difficult for them to see the truth. But we know how this ends up. He said, new heaven and new earth. So the purpose was to get him to give God the glory. Here's the problem. Let's look at 28 through 30 or so. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? See, the problem is he's taking all the credit and demanding worship toward himself. That's exactly what he's doing there. For my might and my power, for my majesty. He wasn't doing it for God. So isn't that terrible? Same thing going to happen to the judgment seat of Christ. Save people. They're going to live their life for their might and their majesty. They get the judgment seat of Christ, going to find out they didn't do anything for the Lord. They did it all for the flesh. So somebody pat them on the back and say, you did a good job. And the truth is, God's the one we're supposed to please. If you're pleasing God, you're not going to have some enemies. You're going to have a lot of enemies. There's going to be a lot. If you're getting along with the world, and you're just cozy with the world, and you're comfortable in the world, there's a problem. Because the world's always going the wrong direction. Always. But the problem with Nebuchadnezzar was, and his intent was to get Nebuchadnezzar to quit worshiping Nebuchadnezzar. Then in 31 through 33, we see the punishment. Remember the punishment? He comes down here and he chops that tree down, but he leaves the stump. So he takes that king that has grown up to heaven, where he's seen worldwide as the greatest power on earth, and he mows him down. And then he's out there with the beast of the field, which Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist anyway. And he can only take a type so far. He's going to get the kingdom back after he realizes who God really is and who he should be glorifying. But the punishment was to knock him down to where the world didn't see him anymore. Amen? What God wants to do, he wants to allow you to be elevated up by him so they can see him in you. Not you. But Nebuchadnezzar said, no, it's me, me, me. Isn't this great Babylon that I have built? What are our leaders doing? Let's just forget the Democrats for a while. Wouldn't that be nice? Right? Till way after the rapture. But look at Trump. I mean, think about what's going on. I want you to put things in perspective and not be bamboozled into believing that he's the answer. Because you got to realize this guy's talking about, look what I am doing. I am a businessman. I am going to straighten this out. I am going to get the embassy moved. I am going to do this. I am going to bring peace. He was going to bring peace in the Middle East. How was he going to do it? The same way everybody else was ever going to do it. They were going to give some of God's land to the people that hate God and hate Israel. I am going to do this. I am going to do that. Yeah, that's what Solomon said. And Solomon ended up, King David's son, Solomon ended up being the biggest mess there ever was. So we look at Trump and he'll mention God once in a while. You know, praise the Lord. But that's not what it's about. I mean, it's about getting back to this book and saying, you know what, this country, God has blessed this nation. And the reason this nation was ever great was because of God. The reason it was ever a power to be reckoned with is because of the glory of God. The reason it was ever stood above other nations and was blessed like no other nation is because it blessed Israel and wanted to be a blessing to Israel and wanted to glorify Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, is his righteousness is the reason. You know, we talked about this the other day. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The righteousness of Jesus Christ lifted this country up above any other country, and the men that led it have chopped it down one piece at a time and said, you're not getting the glory for it, I am. Now we've got the red and the blue, and we're like, man, which side's going to fix it? Neither. Neither. I mean, the Democrats get their Messiah for a little while, the Republicans get their Messiah for a little while, and when they're both gone, there's just a mess. And who's going to fix it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So the problem was he was trying to glory in the flesh and he was worshiping himself. The punishment, he was just mowed down. Out there eating like the beast of the field, like the oxen. Remember he said his hairs got wet and they grew until they were like eagle's feathers and his nails like talons, like claws. just an animal. You know what science wants to believe you, wants you to believe you are? Just an animal. Just an animal. If you're just an animal, I mean, what do animals do? I mean, you can watch National, don't watch National Geographic, that's a bunch of wickedness anyway, but you can watch it on TV. You can watch a video of somebody out in Africa hunting lions. You can see what animals do. They see a gazelle, they go eat it. We're supposed to be not civilized in man's way, but we're supposed to be living together the way God says to do by this book. And if you're not living by this book, you pretty much are acting like an animal. That's what's going on with all these bozos out there in Portland, Oregon, and all these different places where they burn everything down and stealing TV sets and saying it's reparation. And half those people are white. They're just making excuses to live like a heathen. They go out there and burn stuff up and kill people and steal stuff and live like the devil, and it's all about them. Then they go home and they sit with their stolen TV set and their Biden cable and internet and Biden phone and Trump phone or Obama phone or whoever, whatever government gave them whatever free stuff. They sit around there and they soak up the propaganda and just believe what the TV and news media tells them, and then they go out in their next adventure to hurt and destroy with no thought of God. But the punishment comes, and Nebuchadnezzar, he's got more sense than most Baptists because he gets right. Amen? He gets right. Hey, boy, he's convicted. Took him a long time out in the wilderness, but he got convicted. So the punishment was him being out in the wilderness and being chopped down, and then the verse 34, the end result, says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. How about that? And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. We saw the prophet, the prophecy, the purpose, the problem, the punishment. Now we see the praising of the true God. Notice what he says, though? Look at this again. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. You know what God did? He wasn't using what God had given him to glorify God, so he took it away from him. He didn't have understanding anymore. You know what's wrong with this world? They don't have understanding anymore. They don't. That's why they worship Mother Earth. And they put... you guys probably thought I was terrible when I first got over here and started preaching about this. You may still think so. Praise the Lord, whatever. But I'm going to still tell you the same thing. These people that got these, you know, grand dog stuff and all these things about these, that, like, these animals are their family. Now we've got these idiots running around with tails saying they want litter boxes in the schools. Where do you think this ends? Your son and your daughter is not equal to your cat and your dog. And I don't care what any preacher says, all dogs go to heaven. Well, I tell you where cats go, it don't matter. They all go to the same place. They go back to the dust. They don't have souls like we do. God's not redeeming cats and dogs. Say, well, there's horses in heaven. Yeah, but they're going to be brand new. Ren 1010's not going to be there. Balaam's donkey. He's a Democrat. I mean, God can use anything, right? God's not coming down on one of the Amish's best horses. Jesus Christ is going to ride down here on a white... Hey, he's going to leave a place got a street so pure gold you can see through it. He's going to ride a white horse that's so white you couldn't even find a spot on or a blemish on it, because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's going to be dressed in garments drenched in blood, but it's for you. But he's also, we're going to stand at his feet one day, and he's going to be such a brilliant light, and there'll be without spot or blemish, except you'll see a couple things. You'll see some holes in his hand and his feet. And he leaves them there so he can show them to Israel in the tribulation at the end of that thing. The wounds that he received in the house of his friends, because the Jews were hollering, crucify him, crucify him. But it was your sin and mine that he went to Calvary for. So the praising of the true God. But you know, here's something really interesting about God and how good God is. If you jump back up to verse 27, we'll read down through here for a ways. Just three verses, I believe. Wherefore, King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor. if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And then he speaks all that stuff about worshiping himself. But you notice something? The prophet gave him the word. He opened up that prophecy to him. The purpose was to get him to glorify God. He even told him that. The problem, the punishment, the praising of God. But do you know before the punishment came, there was a potential to get right? It says that Daniel told him all this stuff and warned him, and then 12 months later, God did this to him. You know what I'm telling you? Anytime the Word of God, the Spirit of God convicts you, God will give you a window of time to get right. And He's good to us. Sometimes He'll expand that and give you a little extra, I believe. But when He finally judges you, it's not His fault, it's yours. It's ours. Then you got a whole bunch of people out here, I don't know if they're lost or saved, going to these churches that, you know, Jesus drank wine, I got booze in my refrigerator, you know, whatever. All this stupid stuff that they do to justify their sin, live like the devil, and they, you know, go to the rock concerts and throw up the devil signs and all that stuff. You guys thought I was crazy about Christmas trees, against Christmas trees and where they actually started, but you wouldn't believe the stuff they're doing at these concerts and stuff. You wouldn't believe the stuff that these so-called Christian contemporary artists are doing. They're not throwing gang signs, they're throwing devil signs. Some of their albums and stuff have demonic stuff or devilish stuff, wicked stuff right on the covers. But if they sing and they wave their hands, you just got, it's got to be right because it feels good. But what's right don't always feel good. And what feels good is very seldom right. But this is always right. Always right. Always. So the prophet comes, gives him a warning, tells him exactly what's going to happen. And you know what? He didn't doubt Daniel. Isn't that the funny part? He had so much confidence in Daniel, he said, look, my guys don't have anything, but I know you can give me the answer. He had no doubt Daniel was going to give him the truth. Matter of fact, Daniel's sitting there, and it looks like to me that Daniel was troubled and thinking, oh, I got to tell this guy that God's going to wipe him out. Right? And he says to him, where's it at? Because I know that thou, verse 9, the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in thee, and no secret trouble with thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. He has to ask him, tell him. He said, come on now, just tell me. Tell me what it is. And Daniel tells him. And 12 months later, the guy's still living wrong. 12 months later, he walks into the palace that God had allowed him to be king over. And you know, God, if you study the Old Testament, God didn't raise Nebuchadnezzar up because Nebuchadnezzar was such a great man. He raised him up because Israel was living so wicked. Think about that. Think about the last election. He didn't raise Biden up and allow him to be put in there because he's such a great man. He did it because his country's so wicked, he allowed it to happen. And you know, if I had to vote between one of the two, I'm not voting for that joker. But I'm also going to hold my nose and vote for the other one, realizing that Jesus Christ and the Bible is the only one that's going to fix this. And we got to go into this thing wide open. I know people still today that worship Trump. That just worship that guy. That are Bible-believing, saved people, they say. If anything make you doubt your salvation, it's somebody worshiping Trump. I'm not saying being glad that he's not in there compared to the other guy. Praise the Lord for the best we can get in there. And I think you ought to vote for the one that's closest to the Bible. But the guy's a mess. I'll be honest with you. You take 99% of the alleged Christian leaders in this country, and they could run for office, and I wouldn't vote for half of them. And if I did vote for the other half, it's because the other one was worse, not because they were good. That's exactly what God did here. He allowed Israel to be punished by being taken into Babylonian captivity by a king that was wicked because of their wickedness. Then he had a remnant in there that he raised up, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, used to be a blessing to this king to keep Israel going. Just like Joseph in Egypt, he blessed Joseph. Why? Because he was of the king's seed. He wants to bless you because you're the king's seed. And use you. And use us. But he had the potential. This guy had 12 months. And Daniel told him exactly what was going to happen, exactly what he needed to do, and he didn't do it. Obviously an independent Baptist. Amen. Amen. You know what you ought to be able to do? And you know what's the hardest thing in the world for, especially small church folks, small churches. And I'm not talking about this one. I'm thinking about a lot of small churches, but I think this one's pretty much wanting to get what's right with God. But a lot of small churches, you could show them 1,000 verses in the Bible where they've been doing something wrong for 100 years, and they'd say, I don't care, that's the way Grandma always done it. And Grandma was a pastor. Hey, they'll tell you that. I've heard it. I've talked to them. Grandma and Grandpa were both pastors. They pastored the First Baptist, Second, Third, and Fourth Baptist Church. You know. But they won't get right with the book. If you're having a problem getting right with the book, why is it? It's not because it's what the Baptist has always done. It's because it's what you've always done. Amen. We have trouble getting rid of what we have always done. Well, our family always did it this way. Well, your family was wrong. If they were right, keep doing it. If they were wrong, quit doing it. Amen. Well, yeah, but Grandma and Grandpa, and yeah, okay, well, fine. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, explain it to the Lord. I'm sure He'll be understanding. Grandma and Grandpa always had seances, so you ought to have a couple of them. Amen. Amen. Grandma always had a pentagram on her handkerchief. You know, but she was a good Baptist preacher woman. Amen. Get right with God. 12 months later, this guy's down on his face eating like an ox with his hair grown look like feathers and his nails grown look like, I gotta trim mine, look like claws. And then God had taken his understanding for him. He just a mess. And he gave his understanding back when he was going to give it to the right person. And that's what's wrong. These people don't understand because they're trying to worship the wrong gods. And until they get to the point where they're willing to worship the right God, they're not going to ever understand. They're blind spiritually. They're blind spiritually. But he had that potential to avoid that punishment. You know the best thing God ever did for this world? He came to this earth and died for our sins.
Amen.
And He's given most people a lot longer than 12 months to trust Christ.
Amen.
And they refuse. They refuse. But one of these days, when they're cast into the lake of fire, they're not going to be given their understanding back so they can worship God and get out. Nebuchadnezzar is a type. And the reason God gave him back that kingdom because he was still using him and using the men coming down the road to bless and punish Israel. But he's a type of the Antichrist. And one of these days, people that don't trust Jesus Christ and call on His name, ask Him to forgive them and save them, they're going to burn in hell forever. And just like Belteshazzar, there are people all over the world proclaiming the truth. And sometimes people even ask for it, but they refuse to accept it. And when the end of that period of time is over, it's over. Right? It's over. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Could you imagine trying to live your life by the Encyclopedia Britannica? I got to find enough in there to get some good out of this. I got to go to my organic chemistry book, and I got to go to the... Well, they probably got a climate change biology by now where you got a whole course on it. I got to go to that book, and I got to go up to Mount Sinai. I got to bow down in front of those 10 climate change commandments. And boy, if I do all right, maybe the Pope will come down there and bless me. Everybody he blesses ends up messed up anyway. I mean, or supposedly blesses. Maybe if I just do all that, maybe I'll be right. And that's what these people think. You say, that's silly. That is silly, but that's what the world thinks. That's the way they act. If I can be religious enough towards science and the earth and be a good steward of what happened from nothing. And things will get better and better and better, and I'll get the credit for it. And then on top of that, they believe when they go back to the dirt, it's all over with, so all they got's what's right here. So they have to keep doing stuff to glorify the flesh here. Well, really, in their heart, they know better. Atheists say they don't believe in God, and I believe God don't believe in atheists. They know better. They know better. But Daniel gave this man the truth, and he rejected the truth, and he paid the price for it. And what we need is to get right with God, and God give us some understanding back. Amen. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the examples in the Bible we have of right and wrong. Lord, help us to get on the right side, stay on the right side. I know we're on the right side, being one of the King's seed, because of calling on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But Lord, help us to try to live it. Help us to be not like Nebuchadnezzar, but heed the warnings and get right, be right, stay right, and end right. Lord, come get us out of this mess. In Jesus' name, amen.